Talking zombie cats here. This is Mr. Michael Dean on Freedom Fiends with MK Lords. Are you there, MK Lords?
I am here.
And
hello.
Good. How are you? How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
And
we need to adjust his prescriptions.
More brains.
And
more
we have
brains.
Mr. Zombie Barker. I mean, Mr. Davy Barker. Are you there, sir?
I'm here.
Are you safe? Have you been eaten by walkers?
I have not been eaten by walkers. I have returned from a road trip through the Canadian wilderness, and I am now safe here in the altered states of America.
And what's your plan to start a cafe when you retire? What's your fantasy there?
Well, I've always had this fantasy of running a coffee shop. Like, every time in my life I've thought, when I retire and don't care about money anymore, I'm going to just open a coffee shop and run it the way I want. And this fantasy has changed over the years. And my dream has changed. I've changed the name, and I'm now going to call it Dead Grounds. And it's going to be a zombie-themed coffee shop where we serve our house blend will be called Brains, and our frozen drink will be called Brain Freeze. And it'll be a little bit of worm, a little bit of blood in everybody's coffee.
Will you have a dish or a drink called a zombie FDR?
A zombie FDR?
Have you seen the picture of zombie FDR?
No.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Oh, it's awesome.
I did a zombie Lincoln. I'm thinking about putting on a t-shirt.
We did an episode for Pearl Harbor Day called Truth About Pearl Harbor with Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and it was the truth about FDR. Not Free Domain Radio, but FDR, the president, and Pearl Harbor. And I used a picture. It's a painting someone did of FDR as a zombie. And it's a really, really awesome picture. I'll send it to you. Yeah. There should be a zombie Obama. I think Obama
there
is
are,
a zombie.
There are lots of zombie Obamas. You can find every politician as a zombie.
Can you find William Henry Harrison?
By the end of the show, I'll bet I can.
You can make one if there's not one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done Ben Bernanke, and I've done, I don't know, various people. I did an Obama. I did a John McCain. I did a Mitt Zombie.
Mitt Zombie. That's pretty awesome. Yes. That's kind of interesting that you have a retirement fantasy plan of a coffee shop. See, I don't want to deal with people because you'd have to deal with people.
No, I don't. I would be the barista behind the curtain. You would not be. I would not be allowed to deal with customers. I would hire someone to do that, and it would be like a secret where your coffee came from.
I'm not saying people are horrible. I deal with people. I just don't want to deal with a wide swath of the general public throwing money at me and demanding things of me. I like commerce. I just like coffee shops. I've spent my life in coffee shops, more or less, or been in a lot of them throughout my life. I kind of love how it's the great equalizer of anybody who's not so rich they don't know what the inside of a coffee shop
looks like. It's the drug everyone can afford.
Yeah. And I guess people like Mitt Zombie have probably never been in a Starbucks. They probably own a bunch of them, but a lot of, you know, it's from the poorest person in the world to like people who are millionaires a few times over. Like people who are millionaires will still go to Starbucks, you know? So it's kind of the cross section of society, but yeah,
it's almost like the tavern of the revolutionary period where sort of all the rabble and all the aristocrats got together and drank and sang songs.
Yeah. It's interesting to me whenever I hear people who, the word coffee shop. And I do want to say that Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist and his feet stink. I have to say that once an hour so people know where we're coming from.
He wants to nationalize coffee. That's what he does.
There's actually a really funny, there's a really funny YouTube video that's like, you know, news alert, coffee has just been outlawed. It's kind of a parody on drug prohibition, but have you seen it?
No, but that was one of my previous dreams was I was going to have a shop called The Story of Coffee, and it was going to be about, like, every drink was going to be from a different national origin of coffee, and it was going to tell the story through the drinks of coffee. And coffee's been illegal in a number of places throughout the centuries. Yeah.
But then they realized it could make you stay up and pray all night, and they legalized it.
You know, I learned about that too. We've talked about this before, that it used to be illegal because it was a drug, and then this is in the Ottoman Empire, and then it was made legal because you could stay up and pray. That was the argument that they made, but the justification apparently had a lot more to do with trade, and it was about international trade agreements and things like that.
Yeah, and there was some king somewhere that outlawed coffee because he said that people go to coffee shops and drink coffee and it makes them plan revolution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Revolution, yeah. Coffee was one of the names I was thinking about, but that apparently is taken.
Well, there's something about the idea of a coffee shop that just kind of, like, it jumps out at me whenever I hear it in media. A really good example is in the book Last Exit to Brooklyn by Hubert Selby Jr., I did a documentary about him, and I interviewed a lot of people who knew him. And one of the things that one of his friends told me was that, it was kind of a known fact that he was trying to sue the federal government for like 40 years or something, because he caught tuberculosis for like 50 years. He caught tuberculosis when he was in the Merchant Marine in World War II. From infected beef cattle that ended up having to be like thrown into the ocean because people were getting sick from handling these cows that they were taking to the troops in Europe. And he caught it on there. And like, Merchant Marine are, for all intents and purposes, part of the military. They're the roadies for the military. They're kind of like before they had contractors for everything, making eight times what soldiers are making, and shooting people, you know, contractors. Oh, we don't have any troops over there. No, you have contractors over there making eight times as much with no health insurance and murdering people. We need health insurance for those murderers. No, but the Merchant Marine were like the, and I've had a lot of coffee tonight. I took a long nap. I'm very caffeinated. The Merchant Marine were like the roadies for the military, they didn't have health insurance. You know, like if you blew off an arm, you know, bringing coffee to the troops in the Merchant Marine, it's your own tough luck. And so Selby like fought for like 50 years to just get health insurance, you know, to like cover his tuberculosis, and had his lungs removed, and one and a quarter of his lungs removed. He was not in good physical health most of his life. Is the guy that wrote Requiem for a Dream and Last Exit to Brooklyn and some other books. But he was thinking he was going to get a big payoff as soon as he like tried to start suing them in the late 50s or mid 50s. He was always telling his friends, like, yeah, I'm going to get this big payoff. And then I'm going to, and his plan, he said he was going to, his nickname was Cubby. Everyone called him Cubby, not Hubert, because Hubert would get you beat up in Brooklyn. So he, you know, his nickname was Cubby. And his plan was to retire and start a bar / coffee house called the Cubby Hole.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not the only great thinker with that kind of a plan. Do you have a plan for MK for a retirement thing?
No, I can't really imagine retirement right now.
Yeah.
For me. Me too. So it's kind of like one of those things where like it sounds nice and I'd really like to be able to do it someday, but I just don't view it as a realistic possibility right now.
Well, most of the people we know are on the civil disobedience retirement plan, which is three hots and a cot.
Yeah.
What? You think most of our friends are going to end up in prison? Is that what you're saying?
If they're effective.
Yeah. Okay. Then I don't want to be. I don't want to be effective.
Exactly right.
I don't want that government housing. I'll do it. We'll do it on our own here at this house. So I just sent you the picture of Zombie FDR. Dobby.
Awesome. But I'll check it out.
It's so awesome. It's so awesome. It was used on the Freedom Fiend site last Sunday. So, but in this book and in this movie, Last Exit to Brooklyn, that Hubert Selby Jr. wrote, the main meeting place in this really dangerous part of Brooklyn, the book takes place in near Red. It's in Red Hook, basically. The place where my friend who was in my band got shot by a kid for target practice in the shoulder and lived. That's the kind of place it is now and was back then. But it's like they all meet in the coffee shop. The book centers around this coffee shop called The Greeks. It's run by a Greek guy. And it's like, it's funny because like everyone in the book is like a drug addict or an alcoholic or like a tranny hooker shooting benzedrine or a, you know, like angry, like disgraced soldier shooting morphine. Like everyone's just intoxicated on drugs all the time, but they don't meet in a bar. They meet in a coffee shop. And that just seems significant to me. Like the coffee shop. Yeah. It's where you go in any world, you know?
So, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a great place to loiter too.
Right.
This one had a pinball machine, which was like the video game of the day.
Yeah. One of my fantasy coffee shops was called Insomniacs. And what the deal with Insomniacs was that it would move into any coffee shop that closed and just have the reverse hours and essentially rent the property from the other coffee shop while it was closed.
That's awesome.
That's great. No, that's great because I'm in Pensacola and we don't have a whole lot of places that stay open super late. And I've always wanted to go to a place that was more coffee shop like anyway. It's like, you know, more kind of like laid back atmosphere, not necessarily a bar. It's like too frantic. But like here, things kind of closed down earlier, but it'd be nice to have like, you know, longer hours and stuff. That's great.
And you get all that business.
Every person, and medium cities, yeah.
Yeah. Every person who like walked into a Starbucks, like, oh man, they're closed. They're like, we go to Insomniacs. It just becomes the place.
Yeah. I like the coffee shop name in Fraser. It's Cafe Nervosa.
What does that mean?
It means it makes you nervous. Coffee makes you nervous. And it's like, you know, it's a show about it's a show about two shrinks who have a lot of mental problems. So it makes sense.
Right. Right. That's perfect.
Yeah. A friend of mine was in a coffee shop in San Francisco when there was a drive-by shooting. I think the coffee shop's still there. It's on Mission between 18th and 19th or 19th and 20th on the north side of the street. It's a big, you know, plate glass window one. Looks like it looked in the 50s probably or 60s. And he was in there. This is when he was a junkie. It's, you know, it's a junkie neighborhood. And he was in there. It was like him and his girlfriend. And they just, you know, they're waiting to meet somebody to score around the corner or something. And then there were like two cops at a table. And then there were like, you know, a couple other drug dealers that wouldn't deal with him and a couple prostitutes. And somebody drove by and shot out all the plate glass windows. And, My friend and his girlfriend like jumped under the table and somebody else had already jumped under his table. And he was like, that's my table, buddy. And pulled him out and got under there. Yeah.
Wow. Life or death, man. Right?
Survival.
Yep. So we're going to bring in a whole new type of radio for the Freedom Fiends. We're going to go on this jag, Dobby and I, of instead of telling you what's wrong with every libertarian in the world other than us, we're just going to – every show now is just going to be about the TV show Walking Dead. I've decided that.
Is that what we're doing now? Freedom Fiends is now a Walking Dead show?
Yeah. And we'll tell you
more.
It's a spinoff. Yeah. I'm sick of trying to correct liberty. It's not working. Yeah, it's working.
Yeah.
It's working. It's just slow and behind the scenes how it's working. But we'll be back after this trip to the free market.
Brains.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Admit it. You hate shopping for Christmas. You do. It's a hassle coupled with a burden, mechanically checking off friends, relatives, and coworkers from your list. You're probably not even religious, but if you are, is buying your cousin some little made-in-China piece of plastic really celebrating the birth of your savior? This holiday season, why buy gifts for friends and relatives? Most of them are status anyway. You should send that money to the Freedom Fiends instead. The Freedom Fiends will use your money to help spread education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. If you want to help provide inoculation from indoctrination, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post to send your money to the Fiends instead. Because buying crap for unappreciative statist relatives won't get your name on the golden floppy disk of redemption. And if you must shop for Christmas, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you anything extra, and Amazon will save you the danger of holiday drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon pretty much sells everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, so get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com.
Fiends.
Fiends.
Screens.
Yeah. You know, I notice they never say brains in Walking Dead. They also I've never heard the word zombie, and I'm in the middle of the fourth season now.
Nope, they don't use it.
They have a lot of names for them. I wonder if that was a conscious choice.
Zombie literature doesn't use zombie. Well, I think that it was, because the word zombie doesn't appear in any of the original Romero movies either.
Yeah, I'm so about this show. You know, I used to really not like zombies. You even, like, you drew a picture of George Romero as a zombie for a button you made, and I thought it was me as a zombie. And I was like, I don't like that. I don't want to look at, don't undo that. And now I'm like, Dobby, will you please make some zombie images of me? There should be a zombie plugin for Photoshop. You just one click zombify someone.
There is. Walking Dead has an app for that.
There's an app. Everything I said, I'm so new to this. I'm like someone just getting into punk rock now going, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you could like get, you know, like purple mohawk dye somewhere in the same place you get your ripped t-shirts?
Yeah. Where are my studs? Where can I add more studs to my jacket?
Burn down, burn down, burn down the Hot Topic. No, don't.
Bro, you even Walking Dead.
What's that? Don't you even Walking Dead. So we're going to get to Walking Dead, but and here's what happened, though. I was like, I don't like zombies. I've never liked zombie stuff. And Chandler, one of our co-hosts, I said that to him on the show, and he said, oh, dude, you got to check out Walking Dead. I hate zombies, and I love Walking Dead. And that's all he had to say to me to make me check it out, because I'm always looking for, you know, serialized shows that I can consume in, you know, week long blocks.
Yeah.
And so that did it, and I checked it out. All he had to say was, I hate zombies and I love The Walking Dead. So that is true with me too. And Davi actually said something at one point. Davi and I made a video on how to podcast. It's if you go to creamyradioaudio.com and click on How the Fiends Record at the top, you can get to it easily. And Dobby's in it for like 20 minutes, and we're discussing things. And at the end of it, I was like, you got any other advice for up and coming podcasters? And what did you say, Dobby?
If I remember rightly, I said, start a podcast about something other than Liberty. Is that what you mean?
No, you said like, start the Liberty version of something, you know, don't, well, I was saying like, you know, don't just do the, you know, here's what the CIA did to you today. Here's what Obama did. I said, like, do the kind of general interest podcast that's got a Liberty bent, like the Freedom
right.
Fiends.
Yeah, exactly.
And you said, or the specific interest one, like, you know, make the Liberty Game of Thrones podcast or the Liberty Walking Dead podcast.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
this is now the Liberty
that's what
Walking
we do.
Dead podcast.
Look at that. I just manifested it.
You built
just
that.
Just happened.
You built that. It, yeah.
Well, I accused you of being a closet zombie fan like years ago.
For why?
I don't remember. It was like my third episode on the Freedom Fiends, and we were talking about something for some reason. And I think this was when I did Photoshop you as a zombie. Do you remember this? I made like the worms graphic.
Yeah.
I don't remember what that was about, but it happened. Mm-hmm. It's in the archives somewhere.
Yeah. And I didn't like it, or I did like it.
Not at first, but obviously it's grown on you like some sort of parasite or virus.
It really has. Yeah. And well, what it was there was a couple issues that I had. Okay. First of all, I've said this many times, like the media I like has to have certain rules. I have rules.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically I only like stuff that takes place somewhere between like, oh, like maybe when my dad was born and like, you know, 50 years from now. Like, I don't like stuff generally that takes place hundreds of years in the past or hundreds of years in the future. All of these rules can be broken for cartoons. Like Futurama breaks all of them. But
yeah,
I like stuff with a small ensemble cast where there's, you know, maybe like one kind of lead character, but it's a bunch of people that are all almost equally important. And I don't like things that rely on magic, you know, and that was one of the like, I don't like Harry Potter because it's all about magic, and I don't like things that like you have to totally suspend disbelief. That was my problem with zombies until I saw Breaking Bad, because they have the explanation in there where they go to the CDC and explain how it happens. It's just, it's science, man. They don't explain the science very closely, but it's like, okay, this isn't magic. This is a disease.
Yeah.
And I got to say, from this point on, every Freedom Fiends, spoiler alert, every one of them. So they go to the CDC and they see the animation of how it works. It's basically a virus or bacteria or fungal agent that kills the brain, and then the person dies, and then immediately the base part of the brain, it only controls motor impulses, reanimates and lives.
Well, you know, in Survivor Max, it's a parasite, and it's specifically a cat parasite. It's toxoplasmosis. Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what pregnant ladies can't clean cat boxes.
Right, and pregnant women should also not clean up after zombies for the same
reason. We'll be back with Freedom Fiends after this for All Zombies All the Time.
Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in worms! What is Libertarians Against Humanity? It's the only unofficial Cards Against Humanity expansion pack by libertarians, for libertarians, and against libertarians. Libertarians Against Humanity is free to play online, or join the Indiegogo campaign to get physical copies and other perks to play with friends or status you haven't defooed yet. Because if we don't laugh, the status win.
Not recommended for faint heart, thin skins, or those who easily rustle jimmies. Consult a physician if you experience dropped blood pressure or laughter lasts longer than 4 hours.
That's libertariansagainsthumanity.com.
My wife, DJ Deborah Jean, is really getting into the zombies with me too. We like stuff we can watch together, and she's calling me Daddy Zombie now because when like she gives me a back rub or you know anything else that feels really good, I make noises. She says I sound like them, like. So, Daddy Zombie. So I have some announcements. First of all, I was wrong. Jim Jesus pointed this out. I recently said that the punk voter organization was about defeating Bush with Obama, but it was actually older than that. It was about defeating Bush with voting for Kerry. I'm like, Kerry, yeah. Who's that? Oh, yeah, I guess that's a guy who existed.
That's right.
So that's one correction. And
is there a Jim Carrey zombie? There, he's practically already looks like
really
a zombie.
He really looks like a zombie too. Yeah, man.
It's Frank and Carrie.
Yeah, yeah. So there was. Let's see. I made some other mistakes. I started telling two stories that I didn't finish yesterday. One was I was talking about the Iggy Pop book. I Need More. It was just a story that I forgot to mention when I set it up and got sidetracked. It's a story where he said that he was married for like 2 weeks or something, and basically it was like. He was married and in the middle of the night, he got an idea for a song and plugged in a little amp and started playing in the other room as quiet as he could to write the song. And his wife came in and was like, turn that down. I'm sleeping. And he filed for divorce the next day. That was one story. The other was I was talking about my Derringer and I said I was getting to the story I've told before about how I told Boston Tea Party about a friend of mine who'd come to visit town who's a gun guy, but not enough a gun guy that he brought a gun. To town, and he was here for 3 days, and I was like, well, I can lend you a gun, but the only one that I can spare is this Derringer. And I told Boston that, and he said, oh, is that like when you go into a nice restaurant, it's the bad tie they lend you in a nice restaurant if you show up without a tie. The other thing was somebody was like trying to do math and say I was a pedophile or something. Absolutely not. Never done that. we're talking about this movie, Another State of Mind. There's a girl in there. Who I said, yeah, I think I slept with that girl, Becca, and she looks like 15 or something in it. If it's the same girl I'm thinking of, it was like 7 years later or something. I mean, she was like living on her own and, you know, 22 and had a job and stuff. I think it's the same Becca. I don't know. But the movie came out in 82. It was filmed in 81. And like it was like 1990 when I met her or something. So, nope. Got to find other things to say bad about me. People keep trying to like, since I've been going after all of these people and saying, this person's wrong. I keep having these little like people trying to find something inconsistent about what I do or have said or done. And they're wrong in every case. And I'm like, well, here's the interview 3 years earlier where I said that that's not what, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not going to say try harder because I don't really, but so,
well, I mean, worst case scenario, they actually find something and then we have to do a segment about how you were wrong.
And it'll be called I Was Wrong. And I've said that I like doing a segment called I Was Wrong. Yeah. And another interesting thing happened. I don't know if you guys heard this or were on the show. I can't remember. I did it on several shows and I called into Free Talk Live about it. I said the whole thing with the Colbert Report coming to Keene and. You know, I was making it clear that I wasn't saying I think that's setting liberty back 20 years. You know, I'm not one of those people. I'm just kind of like, Yeah, I wouldn't do it. And Cantwell's gun safety was not safe. And he should acknowledge that and take a gun safety class. But so I made this grand statement of, you know, if reality TV ever came to me and wanted to point a camera at me, I said the mainstream media, but what I was talking about in the context was reality TV. And I said, if reality TV ever came and wanted to point their camera at me, I would run in the opposite direction. That's an easy thing to say. That's like, you know, punk rockers saying, I'd never sign to a major label, because they'd never get offered that. This happened quicker than I thought. I got contacted by a documentary, quote unquote, producer today. It's a woman who works for a company that she wrote to me, we've produced over 130 hours of programming for True TV, Discovery, and National Geographic. I looked at this company, they produce Alaska State Troopers, Blood and Oil, Virgin Diaries, Frontier Force, Combat Fishing, Inside, like all this stuff that, you know, is the kind of stuff that I said I would run screaming from their cameras. And she thought I was part of the Free State Project, but she's like, I want to interview, you know, Libertarian Free State Project, because you're running a radio show and you're on real radio. And I called her up. First, I looked it up. And then secondly, I called Ben Stone. Before I called her, I called Ben Stone, because Ben Stone was approached by somebody like this too, and said no, you know, because they wanted to interview him because he's a Liberty guy living with his wife in a camper. And he's like, no, they're going to turn me into, you know, the toothless redneck after the tornado going, thank God my toilet's still here. You know, like, you don't want to be that guy. And I love documentaries, but I hate reality TV. And there's a blurry line between them. And a lot of times they come to you and say, I want to make a documentary and I want you in it. And it turns out to be, you know, reality TV. So I was talking to this lady and I'm like, well, I'm not part of the Free State Project. I'm friends of the Free State Project. You probably want to be talking to Ian Freeman, Derek J, and Antigone Darling from Sex, Lies, and Videotape. Those are the three that I thought of. And I put her in touch with them. And so you can confirm I'm not making this up, because those people are probably going to all be on this soon. And I was contacted about it. And even after I said I wasn't part of the Free State Project, she was still interested, you know, in pre-interviewing me to see if I was someone she'd want to be in this. And I said, you know, what's your agenda? What's your thesis? I said, thesis, what's your thesis of this? You know, how's it gonna be portrayed? And she's like, I won't know until I film it. And I said, okay, I will respectfully decline and wish you the best of luck in the world. So it was kind of funny though, that I made this grandiose statement like 8 days ago of, I will never, you know, if they come to me, I will run away. And like, it's the kind of thing where it's easy to say, cause it won't likely be tested. And it happened immediately. And I passed the test, I think. So there.
I'm curious to see what Antigone has to say. So she does Sex, Lies, and Anarchy, by the way, is the name of her.
Yeah. Show. It's a great show, man.
It's really good. Really good.
Yep. And I helped them out with some audio advice back in the day. I don't know if anyone noticed that about 2 years ago, they went from sounding horrible and having good content to sounding good and having good content. But I helped build that, man. That's what I do.
Cool.
Yeah. Yep. So, I got to turn that down. It was fun. But I wish them well and all that. And I won't say about, she and I talked about Cantwell too, but no, I'll just. So let's talk about this show with the zombies. Gavi?
Sure. Where do you want to start? We can start at the beginning.
Spoiler alert again. So we're talking about, I have some critiques overall.
Oh yeah, me too. Thing.
Let's see. One critique is that there is entirely unsafe gunplay every scene all the time.
But yeah,
you say that gets addressed in season 5.
Well, sort of. This is sort of the big spoiler, because this is the last. This is last week's episode.
Don't say who it is. Just say, you know, it's a main character. I like the way.
So yeah, there's a very tense kind of standoff between one group of survivors and another, and it seems like they're going to just part ways amicably. Their deal goes through. Everybody agrees. Everybody abides by their agreement. And then suddenly a gun goes off and a major character dies by mistake. And then chaos ensues. And so it's sort of like that's almost like admitting all the bad gunplay.
Like, you think there might, I mean, they don't really do focus groups anymore. I think it's just like, you know, they look at the fan blogs and then respond to the things that there's the biggest screeching about. Isn't that how it works now?
Fans don't know any better. So no.
Fans sometimes do though, because of video games are so ultra accurate in depiction of weapons now.
Yeah.
There's people that have never, ever touched a gun who they're like, oh, well, no, on that version of the Mosin Nagant, the charging handle's on the other side, you know, like things like that. I've seen that.
Yeah.
But I think with television, the standards may be a bit different. Like, we don't watch Law and Order and expect that lawyers and cops actually act like that.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
There's a book out called The Walking Dead Survivor Guide by a guy named A. Ron Hubbard, not L. Ron Hubbard, A. Ron Hubbard. And he goes through episode by episode and points out all of the like stupid decisions and survival mistakes in the show. And he points out the sort of like muzzle sweeping and bad trigger guards and stuff like that.
The interesting thing is, though, and I see this a lot in TV now, it used to be that guns were ridiculous in movies and TV. It was like, people ran around with their finger on the trigger. The guns didn't go off. When they shot, they never ran out of ammo. And they held them wrong. The thing I've noticed in media now is they've cleaned up the first thing a little bit. But the thing they've really cleaned up is most people in movies and TV now hold a gun well and actually look like they have experience with a gun. And I think that's because, you know, there's all these like ex-Marines and ex-Army drill sergeants or weapons experts who are like hired by Hollywood, but they show them how to hold the gun and shoot it to look like it's not the first time they're holding a gun, but they don't teach them safety. So they run around with their finger on the trigger, but then they like, you know, when they shouldn't, and they point it in every direction at all their friends. But then when they go to shoulder it and fire it, it looks right.
Walking Dead does both things. Like, so like famously there's Herschel's infinite ammo shotgun in the second season.
But then is also, that what it's called on fan blogs?
Yeah.
Herschel's infinite ammo shotgun. That should be the name of your coffee shop, Davi. Yes. And that would be the name of
the espresso shotgun.
That'd be the name of the drink.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's a scene when the prison is being overrun where like Rick like loads a new magazine, shoots once, and then Carl throws him another magazine and he loads it.
Yeah. Well, that's a continuity issue probably.
So you have both not loading your gun and overloading your gun.
Well, actually, if you watch the movie Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1, Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz, which I produced, he does recommend, like, if you're in a gunfight, you know, let's say you have a 30-round mag with a rifle. You fire four shots and you have a full 30-round mag in your back pocket, and there's a pause in the gunfight and you have time to safely do it and cover to put in your 30-round mag, even though there's 26 rounds left in the one mag.
That's not what was going on here. This was Carl like actually like pulling a clip from his belt and throwing it to Rick so that he could read. It was no, that's not it's what was
mag.
Going on.
It's a mag, not a clip, Davi. Unless you're a cop.
Sorry.
Are you a cop? You call
I'm
it
not
a clip.
I'm not a cop.
All right. Worms. Cops still call them clips. Cops and rappers. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at trueshives.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. trueshives.com.
Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. I was wrong.
Fiends.
I was wrong in the last segment. I knew the right thing, but I was just speaking in riddles and rhymes and talking really fast, and I said, that people would point out that, on that model of the Mosin-Nagant, they didn't have a charging handle. Mosin-Nagants don't have a charging handle. They are bolt action, single shot, not semi-auto rifles. So, yep, I knew that. So we're talking about, spoiler alert, we're talking about gun inaccuracies in the show. I keep wanting to call it Breaking Bad, but it's Walking Dead. Walking Dead is more popular than Breaking Bad, isn't it, Davi? Overall,
yeah, it is. Walking Dead is probably one of the most popular shows on television right now,
which is great because it's great, but it's kind of sad that Breaking Bad, which was very popular, wasn't more popular. And what it says to me is that the average person has less of a problem with the idea of zombies than they do with the idea of people selling drugs to support their family.
You mean as a suspension of disbelief?
Yeah.
Like they can't believe somebody would sell drugs for good old fashioned suburban America reasons.
Yeah. For commerce. Yeah.
Was it that or I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah. Eating brains versus selling drugs.
Like. Yeah. Like most people like think, you know, actually I've listened to some podcasts about like some interviews with the makers of Breaking Bad. And when they pitched that show and it was turned down by three or four networks and before AMC took it, and it kind of like made AMC, I think it was their first real breakout thing, wasn't it?
I don't know if it came before Mad Men or after, but it's the first thing I heard about.
It might've been after or like during, but, yeah. And there were a bunch of, you know, out of the six networks or so that turned it down, there were like two or three that were like, we'll take this right now if you'll change him from a drug dealer to a counterfeiter.
Whoa, that would have been weird.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't like that as much.
I know, but it was like,
are they blue bills?
What are blue? Yeah. So I haven't got to the part yet. Here's another thing of like, I'm like someone now discovering punk rock and saying, hey, did you know that there's a band called Green Day a band called the Sex Pistols? I said to you that I thought that there should be a crossover between Breaking Bad and Walking Dead. And what did you say?
Yeah, it's already been done. It's been like a theory since like season two.
Yeah, but... Spoiler alert.
I guess even season one. Yeah, it was like episode two or three where Glenn has Heisenberg's Camaro or whatever that red car was.
Does he?
Yeah. So they need to distract a bunch of walkers in Atlanta, and Glenn steals a sports car, sets off the alarm, and uses the sound to distract the herd. And it's Heisenberg's red sports car. Same car.
Heisenberg didn't have a red sports car. The kid
Walt did. Walt Jr. did. Yeah.
Oh, it's Walt Jr. Walt Jr. ended up with a PT Cruiser though.
Yeah.
He had the red sports car for like one day and his mother said, no way. And he got a PT Cruiser.
Right.
Yeah.
And the manager of the dealership in Breaking Bad is named Glenn. You never see him, but his name is Glenn.
But didn't you say Glenn finds some blue meth? I saw Glenn found a blue rock that looked like meth.
Yeah, no, he does. They actually, it's blue meth. So it's Merle and Daryl Dixon are these sort of redneck.
Oh, wait. Who's, okay, I get them mixed up. I'm really bad with names, even in shows I love. I describe them as like, you know, the lesbian or the black lady with the sword or the, you know, the redneck that's not dead, you know.
So yeah, the dead redneck who's the more racist one. And then Daryl is the crossbow guy. So Merle was apparently into meth and various pharmaceuticals before the outbreak. And when Daryl goes through his satchel looking for medicine, the bottom of this Ziploc bag full of prescription drugs is like full of blue meth.
Do they mention it or is it just shown in passing?
It's shown in passing, but Merle mentions it in season four when he's in the prison tearing up mattresses looking for meth. And then he talks about his old meth habit and they talk about their old dealer.
I didn't hear him talk about his dealer, though. You said he described Skinny Pete and Badger.
It's I went back and listened to it and it's more like
see, I don't buy that blue meth.
It's more like Pinkman.
Blue meth wouldn't have made it to Atlanta because it was regional of like five states and drugs don't make it that far because they're in high demand. They get taken before they get that far.
Yeah,
but maybe he lived in New Mexico.
Well, they were a biker gang. Maybe they went there.
Ah, that's true. That's true. All right. We'll be back with more on
Beans. Worms
after this trip to the market. Worms. Worms.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
Alright, this is the Freedom Fiends. All zombies all the time. We've just magically overnight turned into a fan radio show, an unofficial fan podcast on the radio of the AMC show Walking Dead. I am Michael Dean. My co-hosts are Megan Lords and Dobby Barker. Are you both there? Are you safe? Have you been eaten by the government?
I am here and I've not been bitten. I swear.
Okay.
I'm here. Worms. Yep. I may have been bitten by zombies, but not the government.
Yeah. So we're talking about Walking Dead, and I just want to say right up front, spoiler alert for every show we're ever going to do, because all we're going to do now is talk about Walking Dead.
What sold you? I want to know why. Why the change of heart, Michael?
Good, right? Same thing I like about every other, you know, like I was talking about my rules for what I like. You know, takes place somewhere between, you know, 70, you know, 90 years ago and 20 years in the future, and does not involve magic, has a strong ensemble cast. And the other thing, and this is what sold me, is good writing, good directing, good camera work, good editing, good tasteful use of music.
The soundtrack's pretty amazing in places.
Yeah, although I gotta say, I really hate music with singing in shows. Like,
oh yeah,
I think part of it is because a lot of the bands that they use, the music sounds good, but the singers, there's so many singers these days that I never hear otherwise except on TV as soundtracks, that the singers sound insincere to me. Like CSI rarely uses music with singing, and when they do, I'm like, this would be better without the singing. This singer sounds insincere. They just sound really Hollywood, like really no butt rock and roll, kind of like, I am singing perfectly. Like they sing all.
They're like a wedding singer.
They sing all the notes right, but yeah, they're not really living it or something. You know, you can't play blues on a guitar. It's never been in a pawn shop. And, you know, a little heroin habit for a couple months in L.A. doesn't, while mommy's paying the bills, doesn't really mean you've suffered. Yeah. Yep. So,
well, cool.
I want to talk about, what we like. I want to talk about what I don't like. I don't like, okay, what's the bow and arrow redneck? Is that Daryl?
Daryl Dixon.
I do not like that Daryl never runs out of arrows.
Good for you. There's a fan culture specifically around Daryl, and I'm sick of it.
There should be a site called like Daryl's Endless Arrow BS.com or something. I mean, the guy starts with, I mean, they're not called arrows. They're called quivers.
They're
or bolts. Yeah.
They're bolts. Yeah.
What, DJ? Quarrel. I don't want to quarrel about this, but my wife says they're called quarrels. Okay. So, you say bolts, she says quarrels, I say arrows. Let's just point out the fact that Daryl starts with 4 or 5 arrow quiver bolts, and they last him. He actually breaks one shooting at a squirrel in the season I'm just watching, and I'm like, oh, finally. And like, he not only does he not run out of them the way, you know, shotguns never run out of ammo in the same show and every other show. Like, he never pulls them. He sometimes pulls them out of zombies, but a lot of times, like, they're shooting at zombies. He shoots 4 of them in the head, and they keep running away from the zombies, you know?
Yeah. There's a show called Zombie Go Boom on YouTube, and they test Walking Dead kills to see if you could really kill a zombie that way. And they've got this, like, prosthetic head that they destroy over and over and over again. And they tested the crossbow bolt, because you can actually buy the same model at like Walmart or wherever. They bought theirs at Walmart. And they showed that this thing had enough force to like go through the zombie's head and like fly off into the yard like 100 yards away. And they're like, there's no way he's recovering these.
Yeah. Although that brings me to my biggest problem with suspension of disbelief Breaking Bad, with Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't be able to kill those zombies by stabbing them in the front of the head, which is how they generally kill them.
Yeah.
Here's why. Okay. The science has shown if there's one thing the government does well, other than abandon their post and napalm cities, which is what they generally do in this universe.
Well, they commit suicide too. You got to give them some credit.
Okay.
And torture people.
Oh, come on. You're bringing reality into this. Don't bum us out.
talking about the show, Meg. In the show, the government pretty much napalm cities and abandons their posts
and goes to protect their family and get eaten by zombies. So here's the one thing they seem to do right is the one guy at the CDC that did not abandon his post did a CAT scan of somebody becoming dying and then reanimating. And it's
all down there in the brainstem.
It's all in the brainstem. So basically, that animation shows that this disease, whatever it is, kills your entire brain. And then like the lizard brain, that's not even an accurate term, but the part of your brain that controls breathing and walking and eating are the only thing that's left that reanimates. And that is in the animation and in reality is down near the base of your brain.
Yeah.
Throughout this whole movie, they're taking 4 or 5 inch knife blades, stabbing them in the forehead, and they immediately die. But you're just stabbing dead brain. Right. You're not stabbing.
Does a lot on this. There are kills where they stab them in the throat, and they call that a kill. There are kills where they stab them in the bottom of the chin, and you see the knife like go up into the nasal cavity.
It's stuff
and they
that would that kill a living person. But yeah, it wouldn't kill.
Not necessarily. Some of this stuff wouldn't even kill a living person. But Zombie Go Boom, who apparently tested this somehow, what they determined was that a shot to the front of the head creates such an abrupt pressure that it crushes the inside of the brain. But a stab to the front of the head would not.
That is a thing. It's I forget what it's called, but there is a thing with ballistics that like rifle fire does that handgun fire does not do, where it like creates a temporary, very quick like vacuum or like space in the cavity, and it's huge with a rifle. Like when you shoot ballistic gel, which has roughly the same characteristics as human flesh, when you shoot ballistic gel with a handgun from, you know, like let's say 10 yards away, you know, if you do high speed photography of it and slow it down, you know, you can see it creating a channel for a microsecond that's like, oh, maybe this, you know, an inch in diameter. When you shoot it with a rifle, it creates a channel that's like a foot in diameter. And that's what happens.
Have you seen the fire engine yet?
Refresh my memory.
They commandeer a fire engine and use the hose as self-defense for a while. And you just keep suspending your disbelief. That's what I'm getting at.
Because I'm going to need it. Because I'm going to need to have it honed for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the red-haired sergeant they run into, you know what I'm talking
about?
Abraham. Is he really a sergeant, or is he lying? Was he in the army?
I think so. I mean, so his backstory is not really brought out in the show very much, but in the comic book, the character is absolutely a sergeant. So unless they depart greatly from the comic book,
Did you see Jericho, that show?
Yeah, I think so.
Because there seems to be a lot of crossover. Like, it seems like that influenced this universe. For those who don't know, Jericho was a 2-season show. It was on network TV. It was great. And it's, preppers love it and libertarians love it. It's basically like, 10, spoiler alert, but like, 10 or 12 U.S. cities are nuked. And, you know, there's the remainders who live in rural middle America, like Nebraska and Kansas. Basically have to fend for themselves. And it kind of like in Walking Dead, people who own guns and know how to use them are not the first to die. I'm just thinking about all the people in Walking Dead you don't see who are like, oh, only the government should have guns, who end up getting eaten by zombies immediately or nuked by napalmed by the government.
Yeah.
But actually there's a critical character who plays a really similar character in both, an actor. The I forget his name, the black guy who's like holed up in his house. He's the first person Rick meets when he leaves the hospital.
Morgan.
Who?
Morgan is his name. I don't know the actor's
name. Yeah, the one that has to shoot his zombified wife.
Yeah.
And then you meet him later and he's just gone insane and collecting guns and, you know, can barely talk and doesn't recognize Rick.
He comes back in season five, too.
That actor, the guy who plays him, who's actually British, the actor who plays him is one of the main characters in that other thing I was talking about.
Get this. Maggie Greene, Rick Grimes, and the governor are all British.
Jericho. What?
Maggie Greene, Rick Grimes, and the governor are all British actors.
That's pretty common these days is for British actors to do. And they finally figured out how to that you can do an American accent. And Britain has a lot of really excellent, unknown, trained stage actors. So
speaking of accents, so the governor, David Morrissey was asked where he kind of practiced his accent because the governor is such a kind of sleazy sort of charismatic guy, and he said that he perfected his accent by imitating Bill Clinton speeches.
That's funny. Well, you know,
you can hear it if you listen to it. You can hear Bill Clinton in the governor.
Hugh Laurie, who plays House, is British.
Yeah.
You know who's the lady, one of the main characters in the first few seasons, the blonde lady, what's her name?
Andrea.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Is she the one who sort of becomes the governor's girlfriend?
Yes. That actress is in The Shield in the last season. She plays a Fed goon who takes down the main character in The Shield.
Interesting.
Yeah, she plays someone from ICE.
I know her from The Majestic with Jim Carrey.
I don't know what that is.
It's a movie about Jim Carrey, you know, running a theater or something.
So I guess that's all my main problems with suspension of disbelief. Let's talk about the racial components, or maybe nationalistic components. I don't know. There's such a, it's really weird because it's like in this show and probably in any zombie show, there's such a sense of the other, like these are people that are subhuman and it's okay to kill them on sight. It really seems to have, and you want to build walls to keep them out. You know, it seems like all of a sudden, like these people who are probably liberals in life and are like, we don't mind walls and immigration, which I don't mind. They don't like walls or immigration. I think moving somewhere to another country should be as easy as changing your cell phone plan, basically. But, it's like all of a sudden everyone's building walls. It seems kind of, interesting. Do you have any comments on that? Anybody?
Well, I mean, there is a great sort of equalizing force too, because like you have like Daryl Dixon, for example, is kind of a white supremacist in the beginning of the show.
Is Daryl the older brother or the younger brother?
Daryl is the younger brother, the crossbow guy. Yeah.
Well, his older brother is really racist. His older brother is an actor I really like who played Henry in Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. And he was almost the same character. And he played a district attorney in JFK and was kind of almost the same character.
He plays the father in Guardians of the Galaxy, and despite being from an entirely different galaxy, is almost the same character.
Okay, we'll be back after this trip to the market where they sell crossbows at Walmart that can take down zombies.
Worms.
How much is that? Let's price that crossbow.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
To say that on the air. Why did I say that on the air? Okay. This is the Freedom Fiends. Megan, You haven't seen this show, have you? You've seen one episode, right?
I've seen, one episode.
Yeah, which means you didn't love it because you would have found more, right?
Yeah, I couldn't get into it so much. No.
Yeah, not so much. Is Davi there?
I'm still here, yeah.
Davi's
I can understand that. The boot stomp was kind of gruesome in that episode.
Well, here's what I'll say.
I may have seen like the worst episode ever, so
I don't know.
I will say I will say one thing that's always turned me off about zombies is I feel bad for them because they were human and they're suffering. And I sound like a callous, brutalist, macho libertarian flasher a lot of times, but I really hate to see any mammal suffer. I really do.
That's an interesting question. Are zombies mammals?
Yeah. They're crippled mammals, basically, I would say. They're crippled humans. Or, they've kind of lost their humanity, but they're...
I don't know that they give live births or lactate, but they do have hair.
Well, it falls out, but they're kind of humans reduced to like the level of reptiles or amphibians. Yeah. I think
in the first season, there's a zombie called Bicycle Girl, and it's the woman who Rick steals her bicycle, and she has like no legs, and she kind of crawls after him. And they did webisodes on the website showing her backstory. She's like a mother, and like she has a couple of kids, and like the father kind of like rushes home from work or wherever he's from, and she sort of like she gets bitten and has to sort of save her kids before she changes. When they announced that they were going to do a Walking Dead spinoff, I was really hoping they would just give us like an episodic like Twilight Zone version of the show that was a backstory of all the hero zombies in the show, all the main character zombies in the show.
What's it gonna be? I didn't know they were gonna do that.
It's like Walking Dead West Coast or something like that.
Walking Dead LA.
It's another survival group surviving in another part of the country.
Well, you kind of don't have a sense of how widespread this thing is, except I think the guy at the CDC, doesn't he say he was in contact with people in Europe that were working on the same problem?
He said that France was the last country to turn off the power.
So it's worldwide.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really had a problem. I was immediately captivated by, the storytelling, basically, of the camera, of this show. You know, the writing, the acting, the direction, all that stuff that makes up good shows. But I was kind of like looking away when the zombies were dispatched for about the first half season. And now I'm like, oh, there's another zombie. All right. Yeah. That looks fun. I want to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Not really. Well, I don't really want to do that.
They keep pushing. I mean, that's the challenge for the special effects department is that they have to keep challenging the viewer. And so it gets more gruesome over time.
I like the description I found somewhere that there are three levels of makeup for the zombies. There's the hero zombies, the midfield zombies, and the background zombies. Do you know about that?
Yeah. Yeah. I know the term hero zombies. And I think most of the background zombies are CGI. They're just sort of thrown
in there.
They're
CGI or they're people with a mask. Like, if they're 25 or more feet away, they're just a mask or they're CGI.
So it's like apes and Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. And if they're, 10 feet away, they have makeup, but they don't have the contacts and it's not done really detailed. But the hero
Sometimes
zombies
are drinking water bottles.
Are they?
Yeah. There's a whole like chain of or a whole collection of images of outtakes or things that not outtakes but things that made it into the show that shouldn't have, and they're like extras and crew that are like in the herd of zombies and shouldn't be there.
Have a Walkman on. Zombies with a Walkman. Yeah. Yeah, but it's kind of interesting. I think how long has this show been running? 4 years or less?
Five seasons is 5 years, I think, okay. Right?
It even before that, zombies were kind of a hip thing. And especially in gun culture, going back like 7 or 8 years, I've seen like in a lot of gun forums where they talk about self-defense, they describe the target as zombies, and you can actually buy zombie targets. And I saw
that's what I use.
I saw that before this show. And I always thought of it as this kind of weird way of like dehumanizing the idea of self-defense, like people who don't want to picture that the person breaking into their house that they may have to shoot is a person, so they imagine they're zombies, which I always thought was a cop-out. Meth zombies or whatever. So
well, it's also imagining anybody who was unprepared is going to be banging on your door looking for food, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a metaphor, but a very thinly veiled one.
Yeah, for the other who aren't prepared. Although I'm sure that in the Walking Dead universe, a lot of people who were prepared probably died in the first weeks.
Well, yeah, the prepper Bunker Bob guy cabin, they just stabbed him and threw him out to the herd.
Yeah, and, you know, the people that were napalmed in Atlanta by the government. I blame the government. We'll be back.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Hey, this is Squizzcar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is Freedom Fiends, the unofficial, unauthorized Walking Dead podcast on your radio. So, Davi, you know, this whole show kind of makes me like knives more. I'm not really a knife guy. I'm a gun guy. I'm not even a gun guy. I carry a gun all the time. But, you know, I carry house keys and a cell phone. That doesn't make me a cell phone guy. So
I'm definitely a melee weapon advocate when it comes to the zombie apocalypse.
They never run out of ammo.
It's true.
But you can't use them from a far distance, and you have to retrieve them.
Yeah. They're also multifunctional, though. Like, if you use a crowbar or something like that, like, you have to think about weight when you're a nomad. And yeah.
There's a lot of zombies killed by screwdrivers in this show.
Yeah, I don't think I believe that.
Well, I also have a problem with the fact that Michonne's sword, samurai sword, is, or what is it? It's a...
It's a samurai sword.
What is it, DJ? A katana? Yeah, she never sharpens it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I assume all that stuff happens off camera.
Well, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that's never really dealt with, like where people are going to the bathroom and what are they using for toilet paper comes to mind, which I'm not being gross and, you know, prurient. I'm just saying, like, that's an issue in a survival.
But that doesn't
situation.
Come up in any
that's
other
everything,
show.
Though. I was just about to say, I was going to use that exact same as any other show. Like, no one talks.
Did you ever see Pleasantville?
It comes up in Married with Children all the time. It was always a big joke when you hear the toilet flush from the other room.
Oh, okay. So if you remember, Pleasantville was this town that was made for TV, and so there were no bathrooms anywhere.
Was it a TV show or it was a town? It was a show.
No, it was
right?
a movie about a kid who gets sucked into a 50s Brady Bunch like TV universe.
So they addressed the fact that there's no bathrooms. Yeah, because in the 50s you couldn't show that. It was against the TV code.
Yeah, and men and women had separate beds and all that jazz.
Yeah, there's actually a book about the movie code, which kind of extended not in a code sense, but in like a remember the code sense into TV. But there's a book about that called One Foot on the Floor. And it was based on that was something in the movie code was when a couple kissed, you know, they couldn't be in bed, even fully clothed on a bed kissing. They had to have one foot on the floor. Yeah, so...
They kind of address it, though, in the prison.
What do they say?
Well, he asks, like, what's in the freezer? And they say, don't go in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that's people that aren't really prepared. They're just kind of thrust into it. They're not really survivors, and they don't, most of them.
Well, they're locked in a prison cafeteria.
None of them survive, I think, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't think, none of them
Well,
do.
You know, even animals locked in a room will go in the corner, so there you go.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't expect that from television. I had somebody, that was a critique that someone had of Survivor Max too. And I was like, you know, that's just, I'm not ready for that in my media.
I don't know. I just think that anything that you take for granted in our society, it would be something to address at least once in a breakdown scenario.
Yeah.
You know,
I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, you know, teach the audience how to go in the woods.
Well,
right?
Actually, I guess it is addressed in one way, in that since they have a baby, when they go raid stores, they get diapers.
But they don't. They're always looking for formula.
They have some diapers at one point.
Okay.
When they're all split up after the prison raid, when the baby's out, they're changing the baby's diaper. You know, the two little blonde Eloy girls and... The guy whose wife...
Eloy girls, that's a great reference.
You know what Eloy are. There's a lot of Eloy in this. There's a lot of Eloy that don't last long in this thing.
Yeah.
That's a time machine reference. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Morlocks.
Yeah, Eloy is a phrase I've been using lately on a few shows while you were out of town, out of the country, because I went and rewatched... the time machine, the 1960s one. It's a really great term that I didn't invent this use of it, but I'm trying to popularize this use of it, of like people who want to trust the government for everything are Eloy.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And people who don't like weapons and don't think anyone should own them are Eloy.
Yeah.
They're basically hippies with like less of a pulse than hippies, you know? And those two little
zombie hippies,
the two little,
they're also kind of expendable too. Like the Eloy didn't have a strong sense of self-preservation.
They didn't. They would just, you know, no one would rescue them and they wouldn't fight when they're drowning. Yeah. But, those two little blonde girls in Walking Dead kind of start out as Eloy, but then later, you know, become kind of fit and able to defend themselves.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, they don't succeed in defending themselves.
All right. Thank you for that. But, you know, spoiler, I started this whole show with a spoiler alert. So what are the comments you got about this whole universe?
My biggest problem with the suspension of disbelief in the show is physics. Like, they drive a truck off a cliff. You see the truck begin to spin over from the front of the truck, and then the truck lands on its wheels. And you're like, wait, no, that's not how that happens. There's a lot of things like that where it's like they just, you know, make it happen the way they wanted to, even if that's not the way it would happen.
Well, historically, zombie movies have always been what first-time filmmakers try to make. And like even in my book, $30 Film School, I recommend it. There was actually a girl that was 9 years old that got my book, $30 Film School, and made a zombie film with her friends and won some award and got written up in the New York Times about it.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I was like, wow. Yeah, it was like the most major press we ever got.
Well, it was definitely George Romero's breakout movie, because before that he was doing Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
I did not know that. That's amazing. But yeah. What was he doing on Mr. Rogers?
He was a director.
Really?
Yeah.
He probably just was so fed up with the whole premise of it that he's like
destroy the whole neighborhood.
Brains. Yeah. But, you know, zombie movies have always been like a great first film for filmmakers, because there's a built-in suspension of disbelief of like cheap props and cheap blood work and cheap makeup, you know? Like you don't have to necessarily do it that well.
Extras are easy to come by.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Tremendous acting.
Yeah.
Lesson.
So when you actually have a budget, you know, you can make something as grand as Walking Dead, but you know, you could cut corners here and there of like, you know, the physics of the thing, the car falling off the cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, knives, man. Yeah. Oh, you looked up, the crossbow that Daryl uses, and we're going to put it in the show notes. I thought it was like, you know, $129, but how much is it?
It's $965 on Amazon. Wow. And it looks like that's a discount, the 36% discount on Amazon. So it's originally $1,518.
Yeah, I should actually know that crossbows could cost a lot of money because I go into sporting goods stores to buy ammo and stuff here in Wyoming. And they always have, like, in Wyoming, they generally have almost as big a crossbow section as they have for guns. And I've never really looked at them that closely, but I look at them when I walk by and I'm like, man, that is some high tech, really shiny looking, you know, smartly thought out stuff. I've never really looked at the prices on them, but I asked a guy, at the sporting goods store, like, wow, you know, when I first moved here, I was like, wow, I've never been anywhere that crossbows are so big. Why is that? And he said, because there's a lot of convicted felons in this state who want to hunt.
And why would the size matter in that? You mean so you can't conceal them?
No, you can't. Or a what? Felon can't own a gun, but they can own a crossbow in this state.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Yeah. And like, and it's a lot of, I mean, it's mostly nonviolent offenses. It's mostly, you know, somebody got busted with an ounce and a half of weed 10 years ago or something. So they've lost their
public
right.
Intoxication. And so
everything. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So yeah, they really crack down on that nanny stuff here, and they love to take away people's gun rights because so many people here, like, their guns are so important to them that that's like the biggest punishment ever. Like, it's worse than prison to most people here. Like, oh, yeah. I can't hunt deer now. Oh, no.
Although this one on Amazon has a scope and Daryl Dixon's doesn't. So you might be able to find it somewhere for less expensive.
I think Daryl Dixon's has a scope on the first season and doesn't later.
Okay.
I think, like, I don't know.
Maybe he just got fed up with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or didn't need it because he's really good at it. Although
he just learned how to use it without it.
Yeah. Although he misses a squirrel in the episode I just saw. Is he getting weak or like sick of it or what's happening? Did he miss something?
I think that was because the bolt was cracked, and so it didn't fly true.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, yeah.
But no, he has plot accuracy. He can get a headshot at, like, impossible distances and things like that.
Yeah, although he can handle a rifle when he needs to, when it's a further distance than that. Like, during the prison break, he's shooting a rifle. Mm-hmm. You were talking during the break about the reuse of props from Breaking Bad to... Was that during the break? It was, right?
I think so.
We should share that with the audience.
So yeah, they reuse, is it a charger? They reuse the sports car that Walt Jr. in Breaking Bad uses for Glenn stealing a sports car in Atlanta. They reuse, what is the libertarian in Breaking Bad's name?
Gale.
Gale has this souped up high tech, you know, chemistry set coffee maker.
Yeah.
That Morton or Milton ends up using to make tea in Woodbury.
Yeah, I call him Mike DeMarco. Because the governor kind of, okay, if the governor were Stefan Molyneux, the Morton or Milton would be Mike DeMarco. Like, yes, Mr. Molyneux, of course, Mr. Molyneux. Yeah, he's kind of like that.
Well, you know, the governor is a you know, an advocate of peaceful parenting, if you look at Penny.
Oh, man. okay.
Is that too soon?
Too soon. Yeah, no.
There's some others.
And the thing is, it's not so much... Your opinion and the opinion of some fan sites, if I'm correct, is not so much that they were trying to create an implication that these universes overlap as it is that the AMC
has one prop department.
They have one prop department. Yeah, because you said the chemistry set hyper coffee maker is burned up in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, it's just the lab is destroyed. I'm pretty sure the charger is destroyed in Breaking Bad.
I think Walt sets it on fire in a parking lot. Doesn't he?
Yeah. I think also Daryl's motorcycle makes an appearance in Breaking Bad
the SS on the side of it.
Yeah, like Jesse just moves into that apartment next to that girl. And he's trying to tell her his fake name.
Right. And the dude rides by and he goes, "Hey, Pinkman, right on." Like, you know, it's a meth fan riding by, some biker.
Right. Yeah. So I think that it's not the same actor, but I think it's the same bike. And so it's implied that that guy's a member of Daryl's biker gang or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think it's really implied that the universes overlap. I think it's just that AMC has one prop department that's really good, but reuses stuff. Yeah.
And, you know, like, writers do stuff like that. You know, like, there's lots of homages to other zombie movies in the show. Because it's the same graphics guy from Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, we'll be back for the zombie redemption in the third act after this trip to the free market. Worms.
You're
listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net. Freedom Fiends. So, for the redemption in the third act, we are going to retire Walking Dead until next week when Davi is on all three nights with me during the week. And I think we're going to have Chandler on too for one of those nights. It's going to be all zombies all the time.
We're going to have a marathon.
I will have finished the show by then up to where it is now. And yeah, oh, if anybody had a problem today with Netflix, there was an update with Firefox today on Windows that will make Netflix not work. All you have to do is click on the thing that says solutions for this problem, and it lists like 20 of them. I tried 4 or 5 of them. It's the first one. It's the Microsoft Fix-It tool. Use that. It works. If you're trying to get your zombies now and can't, that's news you can use. All right, so MK Lords is going to talk about firearm safety, which is, and fire safety, which is dear to her heart.
It is dear to my heart because it's something that people should know, going to be handling firearms on a regular basis. And I've noticed that in certain videos, some libertarians don't practice the best gun safety.
Okay, I'll name names. So, Chris Cantwell in his flag shooting video, and Chris Cantwell in the video with the Colbert Report thing. And I saw in person some unsafe gun shooting, gun handling at Porkfest, and it really bummed me out. And Davi and I, the programmer for the Fiends, Derek Slopey, Derek's going to bring the hardware to do this. Davi's going to provide the space to do this, and I'm going to provide the media to do this. We're going to have a continuous loop playing on a flat screen at Davi's table with the 4 rules of gun safety, like, you know, one from gun training, the non-aggression principle, and one from guns and weed, the road to freedom. And we're just going to play them. Maybe I'll subtitle them so you can play them without just blasting people out with audio, Davi.
It seems like that's a good idea, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you could,
then you can run them late at night.
Yeah. You could turn it on. Yeah. You know, if you leave your table, you could turn the audio on, but you could have it turned off when you're there trying to sell stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people, I could see that with Porkfest, a lot of people go there thinking this is a party, you know, it's anarchy, I don't have to follow any rules, but there's some gun safety rules that you do have to follow. And I did hear about an incident at Porkfest too, that someone was pointing a flashlight on, that was on a gun at someone, and it was, you know, really bad.
Oh, like they were really using they were using it as their flashlight?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
That's what cops do. Well, if you have a flashlight mounted on the barrel of a gun, you know, it sounds like you're saying like somebody wanted to illuminate something, so they turned on the flashlight on their gun and pointed their gun at somebody.
Right. It doesn't make any sense.
Who did it?
I don't know the name of the person who did it, but it happened to a friend of mine who's very big about
There's actually a there's a video of someone being extraordinarily unsafe with a rifle.
Show me on the doll where the libertarian muzzle sweeped you.
Yeah, I will. It's
okay.
It's the video. It's the video of two people sitting at a picnic table having a debate about. And this is kind of funny for anyone who's not a libertarian. It's a debate with two people talking pro and against the existence of government produced chemtrails.
Oh yeah, I know.
In that video, there's a couple of people and there were like five people watching that, but the thing has 10,000 views on YouTube and 10,000 comments of people arguing the thing back and forth. But there's a dude, I don't know his name, I can only describe him as the black dude. There were like four black people at Porkfest. There were like 2,000 people there, so it's, you know, you can say that guy. I think he had a mohawk or some kind of weird hairstyle. The black dude in that video muzzle sweeps, he takes his AR off his shoulder and totally muzzle sweeps both of the people at the table on camera.
Wow. Which would have been I believe Jim Babb. Yep. And Kristen Megan, I think was the girl's name.
Yeah.
So with gun safety, you know, it doesn't matter what environment you're in, there are certain rules for gun safety, which is the first one, presuming a gun is always loaded, which a lot of people try to say, oh no, it's unloaded, it's fine, or I know what I'm doing and it doesn't matter. So you know, if you look at some of the videos, like the Chris Cantwell video where he's shooting the flag, he sweeps the cameraman with his rifle while he's always claims, very flippantly grabbing his handgun awkwardly.
When you call him on that kind of stuff, he always says, oh, it was on a tripod, there was no cameraman, but he's still sweeping.
To the viewer, though.
Yeah, yeah. He's showing bad gun training. And you know, I mean, he's in the woods there, but who knows how far out in the woods there. But the one in downtown Keene is far more egregious because I know there are he sweeps himself and there are people beyond him, you know, in shops and stuff there. So you got any final words there?
Guys.
Don't do that. Yeah.
Don't do that. Please don't. For everyone.
Don't act like a cop with
your
guns.
Don't be a cop.
Don't be a cop. Yeah. Be better than the cops.
No justice, no peace.
Worms.
Worms. Fiends.
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 Worms. Daddy.
Fiends.
Daddy zombie.